Hey everybody, this is Mike from Life Moves Pretty Fast. We'd love to hear from you out there. If you're on Facebook, check us out at Life Moves Pretty Fast. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, or Periscope, look up at LMPF Podcast. Or you can email us at lmpfpodcast@gmail.com. If you can't find us now, well, it's on you. Enjoy the show.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Tusker.
Hey,
did you already take a sip?
Fucking juice!
Josh and
what a douchebag.
Already just jumping right into it, isn't he?
Wow.
Wow. That's okay.
Classless night here at the Treehouse.
He went in for another one.
On a Monday. He was, yeah.
Yeah. He knew it, too.
He knew it. Whatever. That is.
Our guests bring us beer from Africa.
Let's cheers that right in the middle.
Bring it in. Let's bring it in, everybody.
Okay. Oop, get it around the thing. Go. Here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
Everyone listen.
Here, honey, just touch it.
That's how they got. That was their first date. And then.
Touch it.
The Tusker, the finest quality lager.
Wait, from, read the back.
You want me to read the back?
Yeah, it's pretty.
Together, forever. When you open a bottle of Tusker, you are joining the world and celebrating one of Africa's.
Can you read it a little bit deeper?
Beers. Tusker has been brewed with care, craft, and love since 1922. Every crisp, clean mouthful summons up the taste, sunshine, and love of life of its African roots.
Well done.
Do you want me to read the government warning?
Yep. Let's do all of it.
No. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Yeah, cheers, guys.
Pregnant. Yeah,
this is
whatever.
My first time drinking African beer.
Yeah, mine too.
I appreciate
everybody.
It.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to have a sip.
That is really good.
I feel faster.
That is really
good. It's good. It's good.
I feel like I want to murder my wife.
Made from elephant tusks. It's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, Tusker, finest quality ivory lager.
Tusker is supposed to be a large African male elephant.
Oh, okay.
Is it? I thought that was a bull.
They'd say that's a Tusker.
Oh, all right. I'm with that.
I'm okay with that.
All right, here we go, everyone.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Episode 22 of Life Moves Pretty Fast. I am BJ McGivley.
Mike Bissett.
And we have two very special guests. You heard them last week on the 21st podcast party episode, which was...
insane.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was fun. Going through the editing of the episode, and I texted you about this late the other day.
You did.
I apologize if I woke you.
It's okay.
Our interview with Tim, I was fucking incoherent.
Well, I think towards the end we were doing shots in between each guest,
right?
And it just got worse and worse and worse as we went along.
By the time Timmy Boy Roberts came into the room, I needed a little memes.
I held it together long enough for Becky, my wife, to get in there with us, and then right. After that I was like, okay, I can't, I'm just gonna start slurring my words and acting like an idiot.
You sounded fine. I did not. But anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed the episode of the 21st podcast party. It was an amazing time here at the Treehouse, broadcasted from apartment 10.
Apartment 10.
Apartment 10.
Next door. I don't know how you rented that space out, but right. it happened.
I make things happen for the podcast.
But we're back in the Treehouse now,
right.
Recording, and we're here, and it's going to be great.
And you heard our guests last week. They are super fans. Are super fans of the podcast.
Nope, not fans anymore, dude. Now they're guests.
Super fans slash guest. We're going to clap them in proper, yep. Like we always do. Missy and Connor.
Missy and Connor, everybody.
Welcome to Apartment 9. First time broadcasting from Apartment 9.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We got like 8 more apartments to broadcast from with you guys, and we can hit them all.
It's pretty fancy here.
Yes, we spare no expense here at the Treehouse.
That's cool. You guys hired a butler?
We did.
Yeah. We got. He's sitting on the couch right over there.
Thanks, Juice.
Hey, Garcon?
Fuck off.
I miss Travis.
Travis is coming tonight.
Oh, good.
He's supposed to come tonight.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get started,
right.
This is something that you don't know. I have two things.
Okay,
you. Perfect. The first one, and they're both very minor. The first one is my buddy Andrew was asking me about the podcast, and he got really into it. He says he has a like an hour commute maybe even longer than that, maybe like an hour and a half commute one way every day. And he completely binged our podcast in like 2 weeks.
Did he really?
Yeah. So I wanted to give him a shout out.
Absolutely. That's pretty cool. Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, we got a new subscriber and a new fan. And then the second one that I wanted to talk to you about was a little bit more motivating and inspiring. I did a triathlon. You guys know about this. I did a triathlon a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was very tired. This was during the run portion of the triathlon. I was about
you do
three...
get tired during those, don't you?
Apparently, it takes a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
And that's your second one, right?
This is no. I've done several.
Oh, but sorry, fancy.
Yeah,
pants.
Easy. Yeah, sorry, second one, please. What am I, seven again?
Good job at your second.
He's an overachiever. 2 triathlons by 7.
Now there were different types of triathlons then. It was Anyway. I'm on the run. I'm like at mile 3, and the theme song for our podcast comes on one of the corner speakers.
Stop it! Really?
The Ferris Bueller "Life Moves Pretty Fast" song comes on, and I just started laughing. I was
hoping to say like I dropped to a knee or something.
And I did the Excalibur thing, you know, where you drop to a knee and you put your forearm up to your head, kind of like a Tim Tebow thing, where you're like praying to it.
They knew you were coming, and they played that for
they
you.
They played it for me, and it inspired me, and it motivated me, and it reminded me how much I love doing this show. But then I started walking in at like mile 4 because I hurt, and then at mile 5 again, and you know 6.5, it was a really cool little. It's a really cool little moment. And
that is cool.
Yeah. I enjoy doing this show. It's fun.
Dude, I love doing this show,
and
too.
And I'm glad to be back up here.
Yeah,
I'm glad to have our guests in here.
I'm very glad to have our guests here. We're going to get into some crazy-ass stories. I am extremely jealous of the both of you.
Mm-hmm.
We will get to that momentarily. Yes. Actually, you know, bringing up the story about... This is a story about my brother. It's funny that you heard the Life Moves Pretty Fast theme song. My brother moved to Oregon, I don't know, maybe... 3 months ago, 4 months ago, we had been like inseparable like our entire lives. So it was very, very difficult knowing
except
that he's moving.
3 months ago?
Except for 3 months ago, yes.
When you inseparated?
Yeah. Or just separated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Separated is probably the correct.
Okay. Right.
Missy's already lost her shit.
Missy's out.
All right, Missy's out.
Who had 5 minutes?
Snorting.
What's the over under? Oh, if you're gonna snort, get right in there. Put your nose right up to it.
Scare makes you snort every time.
But my brother and I would always play video games, and he would like start asking me a question, and every time he would ask me like a serious question, and whenever, you know, through the headsets, and I would give him like an answer, he would just play "Time After Time" by Cyndi Lauper, which is kind of like, I don't fucking care,
right?
What you're. Like, I don't care what you're saying. So he's like, "Hey, BJ, how was your day?"
I will be waiting. Yeah.
It's like, "Hey, BJ, how was your day?" "Oh, it was really good." I'm like, "You say no to that thing of you." And I'm like, "You motherfucker." Like, and so, you know, and he'd like set me up. And I'm like, "Dude, you're setting me up." He goes, "No, man, seriously. Like, what's going on with this, Mike?" All right. So seriously, what happened? "You say no." So he would always do that to me. But then when he moved out, like, we had like a very like sad goodbye. And he was leaving to drive the U-Haul to Oregon. And right when he turned the corner of his street, "Time After Time" came on.
Oh, that's
so
perfect.
Just, it's just weird how, like, sometimes that kind of hits you.
The universe acts in strange ways sometimes.
Through Cyndi Lauper and Ferris Bueller. It acts through 80s music, basically.
God bless 80s music.
Right.
Yeah.
Bowie and Prince gone. Lauper still kicking.
Still kicking. And whoever wrote the theme song for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, still going, maybe? Can we assume he's still alive? I mean, I haven't heard of anything about my Facebook. Nobody's changing their profile pictures. There's been nothing...
They were in like special lights on the White House.
The Eiffel Tower still
like
remains
leopard,
the same.
Like Ferris Bueller's vest.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that, so no. I'm assuming he's okay.
Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
So before we get started talking about your amazing trip to Africa, we talked to you guys about it last week, and you guys already did your trip, and. Man, that was a fast turnaround. No, we did the party a couple weeks ago.
I'm still hungover from that party.
You still are?
I'm feeling it a little bit.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you guys were coming up to come to the party, Mike texted you and said, BJ wants to know if you can bring Jeffrey. And unfortunately, you guys were already on your way. I said, that's totally fine. They're already on their way. Jeffrey is, of course, a cat that they adopted from where I work.
Of course.
And is my favorite cat of all time.
Mm-hmm. Mine, too.
Hers, too. And you came back to my apartment knowing how much I love Jeffrey.
And yet...
No Jeffrey.
There's not Jeffrey. He's not here.
There's no Jeffrey.
He? Right?
No.
Jeffrey?
No.
Jeffrey's a girl.
It's a girl.
What?
Yeah. Jeffrey's a girl.
Jeffrey's a man's name.
It is.
No, not... In the English language, apparently, the way it's spelled, Jeffrey is a girl's name.
Well, that's... I'm going
to... It's not like Jeffrey. It's Jeffrey.
Okay.
I guess that makes sense because there's Joffrey.
Yeah.
I was going to go there too. Right. And he looked...
Pretty feminine.
Pretty feminine, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Well, so where's the cat?
So we live in OB, super close to SeaWorld.
I'm going to have to stop by and say hi.
We should. We talked to her, and we're like, hey, BJ wants to know if you want to come by.
Don't ruin this. Don't ruin this, Connor.
She said, "Row."
Wait, and then what did she say?
And then she went, "Row."
No way, dude. And dude. then you said,
I went, all right.
And then she said,
wow.
That's typical hate. Jeffrey.
So total Jeffrey.
Typical so Jeffrey.
No Jeffrey, bro.
All right. I had to give you guys a little bit of shit about that.
Well, next time Jeffrey's coming over.
Okay, next time we'll bring her.
Next time.
For your 28th birthday?
Sure. 28th birthday.
All right. Why not?
I'm in.
Okay. So no, I was very excited about this when you guys were talking about it last week. And I kind of flipped my shit, and I have been like going crazy the last couple of days, and I got so excited that you guys were coming because I want to hear all about this. You did the number one thing on my bucket list, hands down, no questions asked. You went to Africa.
Adopt a cat?
Stop it.
Oh.
Bro, we're so on another thing.
I didn't know if... Oh, I so thought we were still
we adopted
about
Jeffrey. It was amazing. She came home and just said, "Row."
I almost spit my Tusker. Don't spit the Tusker, bro.
Tusker! Just making you spit your Tusker.
Forever and always. Wait, what does it say? Something like that? Together forever.
Together dot forever.
Period.
That's
yeah. More.
Mm-hmm. No, you guys just got back from Africa.
We did.
Not less than 4 or 5 days? How long have you been home? A week?
A week.
A week
on Saturday.
That's, I'd still be asleep.
If I were
the two of you. Now, I've kind of been avoiding asking you guys questions about your trip.
Smart man.
Because I kind of want to hear it for the first time while we're here right now. But kind of tell us how you got involved into going to Africa. Was it kind of a thing that you've always wanted to do?
Go ahead, Connor. Tell him how we got involved going to Africa.
Well, there's another woman.
Yeah.
Who invited us. No, we were actually, Missy and I, we have a goal to try to travel to every continent and stand on there at least once. So we've knocked out a few continents along the way. I've never really traveled outside of the United States until I met Missy, and then neither has she. So it's kind of something that we've been doing together since we've been dating each other. So it's actually been a really cool journey to do this. We were talking about going to Africa, and we were going to actually go to either South Africa or Botswana. A friend of ours went to Botswana, so we were thinking about that too. But we were actually going to go do some conservation work. We were going to go down there and kind of just stay with an organization and just help them out. And they kind of put you up room and board. We asked a fellow coworker some advice on what we should do while we're there. And she actually had this a pretty elaborate trip planned out and said, well, you guys should come with us. So she invited us to go on her trip with her.
That was like perfect opportunity.
Yeah, it was, especially since she goes every year. And what was also nice about this is that the company that we were kind of going with focuses a lot on conservation and, you know, the well-being of the local people and just, you know, just expanding knowledge and just promoting how valuable the wildlife is in that area.
Sure. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's all tourism money basically goes back to animal conservation right there, right?
Well, a lot of it does. It definitely depends on what company you go with, but the one that we went with,
I'm talking as far as like the parks go.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah. So it was perfect opportunity to just go with them and just see exactly what to see and just kind of see it as a bystander, and then we hopefully plan to go back as soon as we can and do conservation work.
I've always wanted to go because I've worked with, you know, I've worked with lions and I've worked with, you know, a lot of animals that are native to Africa, but I just think that you have to feel like absolutely like nothing. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, feel just so small and completely minimal because you are in like the most wild place of the entire fucking world. There's really no way around it. Like, there are like rainforests or anything like that. Like,
what's the beginning of civilization?
Too, right. Really. Like, you're pretty much like at the mercy of all these incredibly beautiful animals.
Yeah. No, it was really cool. I mean, like Mike said, it's the beginning of human civilization. You know, I mean, we were in some of the areas where they found some of the oldest human footprints in the world. And, you know, like, we've been to some beautiful places where the scenery is just spectacular, but just something different about Africa. You just feel more connected to the land. Like, you feel a part of the history almost, even though it may not be your history, but it's your species history, and you really feel connected to it somehow.
Wow, that's very well put.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it like that. I'm just like, I want to see animals and shit. that's kind of where I was.
Well, and that's how I was. Yeah. I was like, well, you know, I just want to see the animals. Like, that's why I'm going. But yeah. The animals are a given. Like, literally, we went into the first park, into Tangeri, and it was like, oh, like, every animal you wanted to see was right there.
Sure.
Like on the intro cue, to like, Lion King. Everybody wake up. They're here. And... you know, afterwards, Tangeri's, I was like,
open.
You
know, come in.
A really good friend of mine was like, you know, Africa's life changing. And I'm like, life changing? Well, like, that's really deep. But it is.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, but it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what it is that's life changing. But for me, I'm a very busy person on the go. We live here in San Diego where our life is just...
it's going all
constant.
The time.
Everyone thinks San Diego's like, ooh, chill. It's really not.
No, it's very fast.
But the people in Africa is what really made it for me. They live a very simple, happy life. And we all live a happy life. I understand that. But it's just...
not for them not having a lot, they're still so incredibly happy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And even the people that work there, I mean, they're not all from Africa, but they live that simple life. And it's just, the only word I can really describe it is just beautiful. Like, it's very beautiful.
As funny as this is going to sound, Hakuna Matata is a
yes,
is a term they use there a lot. You know, you never know how much Swahili you actually know until you watch The Lion King.
Yeah,
and go
all of The Lion King
until
is Swahili.
You talk to Nathan Lane.
We went to, when we get to Tanzania.
Yeah,
is that the correct pronunciation?
That's the correct pronunciation.
Is it Tanzania?
Tanzania.
Well, because Tanzania and Zanzibar. I forget exactly what Tanzania was called. It's like Tangeri, I can't pronounce it, but there were two nations that came together and created Tanzania.
Mm. Hmm.
So, but yeah.
Wikipedia lied to me.
Stupid Wikipedia.
But you watch The Lion King and, you know, they Rafiki sings that, Asante Sana, squish banana. Asante Sana means thank you very much.
Huh.
Who knew?
It's a very simple phrase.
We're all 7 years old, like, yeah, Lion King, you know? Santa Sana. But, you know, there's a lot of Swahili in that movie, and you never realize. Hakuna Matata is a real word. It means no worries.
That's what I learned. It means no worries.
Oh, sorry. Kid. Simba told us that.
Simba told us that. For the rest of my days.
And Simba means...
I go with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I'm a JTT guy.
Home Improvement.
I'm a young Simba guy.
I'll cheers my Tusker to that.
Simba means
right, Missy? Tiger lion. Beat? Up five. Beer. Okay, there we go.
Home improvement all the way, right?
Yeah. Home improvement, that's right.
Now, something you did mention to me was that you came back and you kind of looked at your cell phone and you thought, why?
Me or Connor?
Connor.
Oh.
Yeah.
And obviously it's a first world tool, and you know we're kind of addicted to these things, but then you go to Africa for how long? You guys were there for 2 weeks, 10 days?
10 days.
Ten days. Go there for 10 days and you live without it, and you kind of realize what do I need this for? You elaborate on that a little bit.
No, you just kind of, so we were, like Missy was saying before, the people, they don't seem to have a lot of the items that we have, and you know, we put importance on so much that we're like, oh, I need to have this, or I need to have that, or if I don't have this, life's going to suck. Oh, if I don't have a hot shower, you know, which, don't get me wrong, everybody enjoys
it. If I can't drive and play Pokemon Go, my life is ruined.
Speaking of which, I got to bail out of here. There's a Pikachu down the stairs.
Where? But, I'm out, bitch.
Sorry.
I'm actually really upset I didn't have any Wi-Fi, so I can find out how many Pokemon right. out in the African
out
bush.
Out on the Serengeti.
I'm sure they're there.
But no, it really just makes you realize, like, how little you need. You know, I mean, we were there, we had the essentials. We had beer,
mm-hmm.
we had food, we had friends, and we had a fire. And even though we stayed in some really nice places, like, we...
You did, I saw the pictures.
Yeah, we were...
You stayed in some beautiful places.
We were glamping, so it's kind of weird to say, like, oh, we didn't have much, you know. But, we had everything we needed, but... You know, you could also still disconnect from all the glampingness if you wanted to, and we did. You know, we would reflect a lot in our tent, if you call it a tent, and just kind of hang out and just sit in the dark and listen to animals and just have a glass of wine and just enjoy each other instead of checking your Facebook status and,
right.
you know, worrying
morning
about...
Morning coffee with a hippo walking by.
Yeah, I mean, other than that kind of stuff, it just, like, you watch the people and you hear everybody and you listen to their stories and it's like, man, they just rely on human connection and just essential needs, where I feel like in the Western world, we're kind of getting away from human connection and everything is digital now. You know, so...
Not necessarily digital. I think it's just selfish.
It could be.
I mean, it's just self-indulged. Like, I have lunch with my coworkers and... There'll be like a quiet lull, and then I look up, and then everyone's on their cell phones, and it's like none of us are talking.
You know what's interesting?
It's a selfish
though,
thing,
even,
I think.
Yeah.
So we visited a Maasai village, which is like the indigenous tribe of Africa. They still live in those same ways and practices. They all have their cell phones.
Like, oh, really?
They live in a like a little hut made of cow poop, but they all have their cell phones.
Yeah.
Well, not but all of them, but... You know, there are certain people that have their phones. I mean, it is a way of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they use their phones for, like, essential things. Like, if they have to get into town for something, that's what they use it for. If they
right.
have to call.
It's easy to get an Uber.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
But it's not
easy
like,
to get an
oh,
Uber
I'm
going to
update my Facebook status. I
the
made
surcharges, though.
Yes. Right.
I mean, you're talking
they definitely
20 times the original rate if you're
yeah. ridiculous.
But, yeah, but that's kind of what they use their phones for. It's not like they're, like, chatting up their buddies
sure.
and stuff like
yeah.
that, but... I mean, it
they're not Netflixing and chilling.
They're getting their taxi,
they're not swiping,
which is a motorcycle.
Right.
yeah.
They're not swiping like, ooh, Tinder Tangineer.
But I think the cool thing about it for people to go to Africa and experience it is that, yes, you guys did say that you stayed in a lot of nice places, but it would have been, as you said, like glamorous, but it would have been just as glamorous if you were in the middle of nowhere in a tent with a fire,
well,
beer, friends, the same people,
that's
listening to
what,
the sounds.
That's exactly what we had originally planned to go
yeah.
do, but we were fortunate enough to be able to go on a more
sure.
elaborate trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that was great. And, you know, all
yeah.
of it I think would be great. But I'm saying, like, just the actual breaking everything down into his most simplistic form in, I would say, probably the most simple place on in the world, right?
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
I mean... Like, from all the places I've been, absolutely.
Yeah, there's not many rules there. It's if a hippo comes into your camp, you're either going to live or die. Like, those are the rules. Like,
go inside.
Right, go inside.
Yeah. Like, no, it just makes you just feel, like you were saying before, you just feel small and
mm-hmm.
connected, and you just realize where your place is and
right.
the circle of life, I guess.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
yeah, there's a reason why that song is so strong. Is,
yeah,
because you know,
it, speaks a lot of truth. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know. I think it's... I'm just absolutely amazed that you guys did that trip, and I've always wanted to do it. But I've said it before on the pod. I don't even own a passport, and I need to get one.
You need to get one.
I need to get one and go somewhere. You
gotta get on that.
Like I broke your guys' balls. Like before, I was like, "Well, you never invited me to Mexico," but I was like, "Fuck, I couldn't go
to Mexico. I can't go to Mexico. They won't even let you in."
Right.
Well, they'll let you in to Mexico. They won't let you back in.
They won't let me back in.
And once President Trump gets like, "I will not let BJ into the back," he doesn't have a passport. I had to do a Trump impression.
Right. No, you had to.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, how did you get back in from the triathlon?
How did I get back in from into the country? I swam back, dude. That was part of it.
I know. Yeah. That was what we said last week.
You had to swim. I had to swim like 10 kilometers out.
With AJ, we talked 2 weeks ago. We talked about that.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I'm back, Dick.
Oh,
yeah,
you got well. Good for you. You completely give it up for Mike.
Thank you. I avoided a few landmines. I had to blend in. Speaking of blending in. This is an awful transition. Animals. We talked a little bit about animals. You guys said you wanted to see the Big Five of Africa. What are the Big Five?
The Big Five are the animals that were hunted the most.
Okay.
So like back in like the Hemingway times.
So
like,
we're talking about.
I'm gonna go kill me a lion.
Buffalo.
Lion, buffalo, elephant, right?
Leopard.
Leopard.
Rhino.
Rhino.
Okay. So, how many of the Big Five did we check off?
We saw
three.
Hey,
I didn't see leopards. Three more than I've seen.
We did not see leopards. We did not see rhinos, and
they're pretty difficult though to spot.
And this isn't one of the Big Five, but we did not see cheetahs. No. And we tried so hard.
Really?
We did circle around leopard, a known leopard territory, for hours.
A known.
Mm-hmm. And we were trying to like find one. We went at the right time. We went in the morning. We went in the evening and a little bit after dusk, like trying to find them. But all we could find was an old carcass sitting in a tree, which that was pretty rad. I mean, sucks an animal died, but I mean, it was kind of cool to just see like, shit, there was a leopard up there. Like,
so a leopard killed something, dragged it up into a tree.
Yeah, that's what they
and
do.
Ate it.
It was a Thompson's gazelle that they brought up there.
Okay. So the skeleton was just like.
Have you ever seen a leopard do that?
No.
Well, dude, I mean, it's impressive. It's like three leaps, just carrying it by the neck, just all the way up.
Pretty strong.
I haven't seen it in real life because I've never been to Africa.
There was a guy.
But thanks, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. So, hey, this show brought to you by Mutual of Omaha.
Mutual of Omaha. Check them out on youtube.com/Mutual Omaha.
I will say, so the first time we went to Tangeri, which is the first national park we went to, I was like, I feel like I'm in the safari park. Like, this literally looks like the safari park.
As in several species just living together, just, doing their thing?
Yeah, and just there, like, like, oh, they're here, everybody.
How did it go?
Everybody, places.
It's my goal to get a snort.
The trucks are coming, everybody get ready.
Places everybody. Right.
So you went with Tim.
Tim's here. Hey, Tim. Hey.
No,
I thought I saw a ginger in the bush.
I mean, honestly, I spotted a secretary bird.
Tim hasn't been in a bush in a long time.
The San Diego Zoo.
Really?
Like, I was like, there's a secretary bird. But I only knew that because I've seen him at the San Diego
Zoo. Now, secretary bird is my favorite aviary species. Is that right?
Avian.
Avian species?
Oh, my God.
You're a marine mammal trainer. It's fine.
I love the secretary bird. And you saw one... in real life.
We did.
That's pretty awesome.
It was
pretty rad.
How I understand you were Missy. You were kind of an eagle eye out there.
I was, cuz I practiced you had training. In Yellowstone.
You practiced in Yellowstone.
Yeah, when we went wolf tracking.
Okay.
Vicky taught me some like skills to look for animals and I was just on it.
And, like and tree, you were kind like of one of the ones that was
bears and stuff like that.
Just with your binoculars. I don't know.
I will say Missy was very good at spotting animals. I was trying so hard. I'm like looking. I'm like getting a headache. I'm like, fuck, man, I don't see shit. And then she's like, oh, look, there's lions right there. And I'm like, what? And I look around and there's like fucking two lions and their babies like nursing and playing. And I'm like, holy shit, how the hell did she see that?
That's amazing. That's so cool. seeing lions nursing.
Yeah, the other time we were like going down the road, and Missy's like, whoa, stop. And we look around, and it's like, she's like, there's fucking unicorns right there. And we're like, holy shit, there are.
Unicorns.
And turn around. God damn it, she was on Pokemon Go again.
Freaking unicorns up there. There she is, spotting those unicorns.
Look at that Pikachu.
We're all like, I don't see them. And she's like, they're right there.
Pokemon Go, get it.
And then we realized Missy had the special lunch.
No, that's a rhino. They have a horn.
It's a rhino.
Oh, wait. That's a termite.
Oh. Is that a fat unicorn? No, Missy. It's a rhino.
Were you guys scared at any point of anything?
Yes.
No.
Connor was. Okay.
I took a piss.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Behind a bush. Because I had to. And we were by a river that had a lot of hippos. And all of a sudden I hear, brah. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm like, got my dick in my hand, like running away. But I didn't want to run too far out of the bush because everybody would have seen me.
Right.
I was like, keep your cool, man. It's just
like, act like you've been there before.
Because the last thing you want before you get eaten by a hippo is for someone to see your dick.
Well, it wasn't probably like anywhere close. It just like it echoed around over the bank. And I'm like, oh, damn it. This thing's going to come at me.
No, that's...
Well, the hippo is the deadliest animal in Africa, is, right?
And I asked why. Yeah, and it's because people will go bathe in the water and they don't see the hippos. And they move so fast that...
They do move fast.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the water with them at that point.
It's an infrastructure problem.
Oh.
You know, so a lot of people don't have a lot of clean water, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So they'll go to the rivers to get water, and they may not know a hippo's there, and all of a sudden you have a 3,000-pound hippo on top of you. No. So, I mean, it's not like they're out, like, looking for people, like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, but
at the hippo meeting.
Next time you take a shower, just be thankful, because their choices are... You can bathe and maybe smell a little bit better, but there's a chance you're going to die.
Yeah.
So turn the water off while you're soaping up is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, there are like legit cities in Tanzania and stuff like that. But a lot of people do live close to the bush. I mean, no one's allowed to live in the national parks, but they have what's called conservancy areas or corridors that connect the parks. So we did stay in one of the conservancy areas, which was really cool because I felt like the animals were a bit more wild. You know, they weren't used to seeing a lot of people and traffic and stuff like that. Because some of the animals really just hang out in there, and then some animals go back and forth a lot. But like the elephants really didn't like us.
Elaborate. Why didn't the elephants like you?
They were just very
tourists or
cautious of.
One of the elephants saw his dick.
Well,
yeah. One of the elephants got jealous. Yeah, it was like, whoa. That fucking guy.
No, give an example of the elephants in the Serengeti. That guy that was on our lunch or our breakfast, the one that just like hung out with us, compared to the elephants and.
Yeah, so we were in Serengeti National Park, and what was kind of cool is our guides would like find a relatively safe area that we could get out, and you know, they had food for us, and we'd have coffee and like some light breakfast like outside, and you have wildebeest and zebra everywhere, and then there was this one Tusker elephant, you know. Tusker, brought to you by
Laugh Moves Pretty Fast
together.forever.
But we were just hanging out in the bush, and you know, this elephant just starts coming up to us, and eventually our guides were like, all right, everybody in the trucks, and like we cleaned everything up and we had to get out of there because he was getting a little curious.
Yeah.
But we were in Tangiri. The elephants would like be really cautious of the vehicles. They'd cross roads. We got trumpeted at. We thought we were gonna get charged. We're like, oh my gosh, this is fucking nuts. But it turns out the elephants in Tangiri are used to seeing hunters. So I guess trophy hunting is still allowed in Tanzania, and poaching is still an issue out there.
That's
so, I mean,
of course.
They're used to seeing men with rifles. So seeing us was kind of like a get the hell away from
me. It's
just
a big warning, yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And we stayed in this area called Manyara Ranch area, which is a conservancy area. It's right outside the Manyara National Park. And the animals there seem to be pretty wild, and there's lions and leopards that live out there, but we never saw them.
Yeah.
We saw their tracks, and we went on a bushwalk with this guy from Zimbabwe who was out there. And we're walking around, and we see fresh lion tracks. And I was like, where do you think the lion is? And he goes, see that bush? And I was like, yeah. He's like, she's probably in there.
Wow. Now, was this bush 100 yards away or 10 feet away?
So I left my underwear in the middle of the Serengeti.
Like 20 feet away.
20 feet away.
Like don't make any sudden movements towards that bush.
We were so immersed in the animals element. Like even like a lot of the camps that we're at, whenever the sun went down, we couldn't walk around the camp alone. We had to have an escort.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night we were being escorted to our tent. And I had to step over elephant shit to get into my tent because there's elephants in the area.
Wow. One night we dropped Art and Bronwyn off before we went to our tent with our guide, and there was a zebra just hanging out next to their tent. And they were like, so we have to go in there.
Uh-huh.
They're like,
you just shoo the zebra away?
No, or wait for him to pass.
Uh-huh. Just, hey.
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Move along.
You just eating the long grass.
Yeah. We also had lions in camp one night, too.
Wow.
Like,
now, are you in your tents at this point? Or you guys have your cameras?
We're in our tents.
Yeah. Okay.
You're safe in your tents. They say once they see the structure, they're
out.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Step outside.
Same thing with the cars, too. Except with the elephants. But, most animals, they see the cars and they just kind of see it as it's just an object that doesn't.
Just a large thing.
Yeah.
Which is probably why elephants will charge cars, because it's much smaller than...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, elephants than not really scared of much.
We drove up on some lions on the side of the road, literally on a curb, I guess you could call it, but it wasn't really a curb, it was a dirt ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even open their eyeballs at us.
Mm-hmm.
They were just landing.
So used to...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that, just as long as you stay in the vehicle, but then the second you get out, it's go time.
Yeah, it could be a different situation.
There was no bush squatting near the lions, that's right? For sure.
Now, I've, and I don't know if you ever felt this, especially going back to your thing with peeing by the hippo. Tell the old peeing by the hippo story. Going camping and stuff like that. I've always heard people say, if it gets a little too quiet, if you feel like something's watching you, chances are it is.
Yeah, I mean...
Is that a thing that...
Missy and I, we venture out into the wilderness quite a bit, even here in San Diego. And my big thing is I always want to see mountain lions.
Mm-hmm.
I know they see me, but I can't see them.
Right.
And I had a bigger sense of that when we were in Africa. Even... There was one time I had a...
Something always has to have their eye on you.
Yeah, I mean, you're always being watched. And even out in the ocean, even going out surfing, I know... things see you that you don't see them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it this way, nobody really thinks about it. But when you step into the ocean, you just step into the wilderness.
Sure, you know? Sure.
That's the biggest wilderness in the world.
And mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people think about it that way. I mean, fish live there, stingrays, migrations happen, sharks come through, dolphins, whales, you know. You're in that element, but nobody really thinks about it because it's so close to home.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, being in Africa, there was one time we... because there's no... porta potties around, so if you got to use the restroom, you got to get out behind the truck and
pop
go to the bathroom. There's one day we're in the conservancy area, and they could do this because it's protected land, but it's not a national park, and
mm-hmm.
I had to get out and I had to use the bathroom, so I'm taking a piss, and then these fuckers drive away a football field away, and now I'm in the middle of the fucking African bush, and I'm staring at giraffes and everything, and I'm like, shit, what the hell is looking at me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just started going, and I had to finish going, and
you can't stop once you start.
You can't stop. And
yeah.
I'm like, if I start running, it's gonna get all over me. And I'm just gonna wait and just.
So they just took off.
See how this goes.
And made you catch up.
They made me catch up.
Wow.
But it was kind of cool. One of my favorite things about being in Africa was actually the bushwalks and actually being able to get on the ground and just smell the smells and feel the ground and just...
BJ loves smelling smells. He does.
I'm a big smeller.
He loves the scratch and
any
sniff.
Any of you single LMPF fans out there, you're looking for a
I was
solid
walking in
smeller.
The bush and this cusser just farted and I was yeah.
Tusker. Bro, nature. You ain't lived till you smell the Tusker fart.
Hey, man, you ever smelled a Tusker toot?
Tusker Toots is the name of my next band.
That will be. Oh, I was gonna say it's gonna be a hashtag on
they're
the
gonna,
episode.
Yeah, they're hashtag gonna be. Tusker they're gonna be at Coachella next year.
We do have elephant poop on our shoes.
Still.
Nice.
We haven't
rinsed them yet.
Well, I wouldn't retire those shoes.
Yeah.
Those are your Africa shoes.
Yeah, you kind of need
to. Put them up on a shelf.
Well, we should have left them there.
It's like Forrest Gump.
Jeffrey will smell them. Oh, that's some Africa elephant shit. Oh, you smell that? That's good.
Don't bring her up. Don't bring her
Jeffrey?
Up.
Jeffrey? I'm sorry. Is it still too raw? Still too soon for it?
Yeah.
I miss the joke.
What countries did you guys go to? You were in Tanzania? How do you pronounce it?
Tanzania.
Okay.
That is the country we went to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect.
We got really close to Kenya.
All right.
Real close.
And then it sounds like maybe
you weren't supposed to.
One could almost say we may have been in Kenya.
You were in Kenya.
Well, no, that's how close we were.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
they're smirking a bit, so there's something that they're not allowed. They're like international traffickers in Africa or something like that.
Kenya is one of those, you know, you're either a marathon runner or a drug dealer if you're from Kenya.
Oh, is it?
I think so. The Kenyans always win the marathons, right?
We were just looking for rhinos.
We've heard of...
Missy's already defending it.
We'll leave it at that. We were looking for rhinos.
We're looking for rhinos. Did you get your rhino? Kenya.
No.
Never
didn't
saw
get
a rhino.
The rhino. Oh. Well, there's not many of them left.
No,
so
only 1,000 left in the Tanzania area.
That's insane.
Tanzania area that we were in.
1,000.
1,000.
That's insane.
And they said if they were around when we were there,
we would know.
We would know because they track them.
So we went to an area called the Ngorongoro crater. So it's one of the largest calderas in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be as big as, or maybe even bigger than Kilimanjaro. It was this mountain. And it was a volcano and imploded on itself and created this giant crater. So the bottom of the crater sits at about 6,000 feet and the top of it sits at about 8,000 feet. So a lot of people don't realize this, but like the Serengeti area, like northern Tanzania, Kenya area, or southern Kenya is like kind of high elevation, like. We were never below 4,000 feet when we were there.
Wow.
Hmm. So we're kind of up there. And then the top of the crater, which we were up, you know, like I said, is around 8,000 feet, and the bottom's at 6,000. And there's a ton of animals inside there. Now, they used to have a lot of rhinos, and the problem is that people are poaching them like crazy. Now, rhinos are more browsers than grazers, which means that, you know, they feed more on, like, low-lying trees and stuff. Inside the crater, it's more of just grazing, so there's not a lot of rhinos left in there. I think there's only about like maybe 15 to 20. I'm not exactly 100% sure on the number, but it's really low. But they have people who sit on top of the edges of the crater and just monitor these rhinos because they're afraid of people coming in and poaching them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen like pictures and read articles about rangers that will
just follow these animals. Like, yeah,
3-4 rangers will just wherever he goes, we go.
Yeah.
Wherever
yeah.
he goes, we go. That's it. Just got to make sure he lives.
Yeah, they relocated a lot of these rhinos, not so much from this area, but from Tanzania to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So South Africa actually has the highest rhino population in Africa right now.
Hmm.
All right, so you plan another trip, right? Because I know this one was kind of already mapped out. It was basically like,
yeah,
you guys want to come aboard or not? And you decided to. Good choice. You got to do another trip. Let's say it's just you two by yourselves. How do you do it? Or what do you guys want to do? Because for me, like, I've always thought, like, I would like to do 2 weeks doing exactly what you guys did. Obviously, money not being an issue.
Yeah.
2 weeks doing exactly what you guys did. And I want to do 2 weeks in the rainforest, like, going and looking for gorillas and, you know, just being in, like, the whole, like, South African rainforest.
Yeah. Which Julie's doing next year.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The trip's full.
The money,
is it full already?
The trip's
already?
Full and the bank is empty.
Yeah. Right.
The money situation, you know, I mean, that's a tough one. I mean,
are you comfortable saying the number? Like what?
I'll say it.
The listeners, did this trip cost you guys?
It costs a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean,
just over 10 grand a person.
Per person.
Per person.
So I mean, you guys did some incredible things for just under or just over?
Just over.
worth every penny, though.
Worth
every penny. I would tell anybody.
Buying gear and stuff like that. Right. And doctor visits and getting everything
set up. But I will say that included everything while you were there, except for souvenirs and your visa and $5 a day to tip, like, 15 house, like, staff. 5 dollars for the entire staff.
Wow.
I mean, $5 to us can't even buy us a beer.
Well, I mean, if I'm spending 10 grand, I'm okay with an extra $5 a day.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know, the way we saw it is, you know, we're like, you got to go.
And this company that we did spend the time with, they're doing good things, and they're going to continue to do good things.
Yeah,
it
wasn't just an organization that just like, we're going to show you Africa. Just capitalizing on
tourism.
No, they actually, they're trying to make a difference by like educating the people around and benefiting the local communities and towards conservation. So everything that we did went directly to conservation.
And I have to say one thing about our guides, because this is one thing that I took home with me. We had four different guides, and we spent time with two of the four most of the time, but two of them were Maasai, which is that indigenous tribe that I was talking about, and they chose to leave their villages and become guides and teach people about these animals, and they're super passionate about these animals. But they had some really great things that they shared with us, and the two of them that I really connected with and meant something to me. On our second day, I mean, granted, first day out the door, like I said, tons of animals. Second day, Stanford goes, you know, you guys saw tons of animals yesterday. You may not see a single animal today. So I want you to focus on something else. Focus on the beauty of this place, the land. Focus on this tree. Why is this tree the way it is? With all these thorns on it, it's protecting itself. However, these elephants eat this entire tree with these huge thorns on it. And then our other guide towards the end of the trip, we had the sundowner, which is our sunsets. We, you know, you drink wine or beer and you watch the sunset, blah, blah, blah. Every sunset we were watching animals every night. I mean, you couldn't ask for more. But our last sunset, not a single animal.
Hmm.
And he was like, this just gives you the opportunity to appreciate the beauty of Africa. There's not an animal around to distract you from what is here and the people you're here with. And I was like, wow, that's
beautiful.
Deep.
That's it's very deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean about the people. They really love what they do. They love where they are. They're super happy.
They love where they're from.
Yeah. And those two guides were not Maasai, but the two guides that were Maasai had, you know, different stories that, you know, they fell in love with each one. They definitely
gave us a huge cultural insight and just to hear how things are. And but like the money too, like I was stressing out about it at first, and then Missy, she said, you know, yeah, we can't really afford this. It's like, but let's figure it out. So we
just do it.
Compiled a lot of debt. We cut down on things. We got rid of things like cable and like other stuff we don't need. And I took out a loan, and she did what she had to do, and you know, sold her ass a lot on the street. And, you know.
Hey, no one appreciates that more than your clients. Connor.
But I'm just saying, though, like, you know, I always hear, and I've been a victim of this, too, and guilty of it, saying, too, like, it's so expensive. But you know what? If you only live one time, and if you only have an opportunity to do something, figure it out. And if you can make it work, do it. You'll figure it out. You know, I mean, it was a lot of money, but think of it as, like, you just bought a cheap car. But
seriously. If you put it together, you spend 20 grand. On something that most people will never do.
Yeah. Or they remodel their kitchen or their bathroom.
Yeah, and like, you know what? Exactly. This cheap car is going to make me richer than anything else I've ever bought. So. Yeah.
Right. And the experience that you had and the stuff that you took away from it will, you know.
If you ever have the opportunity, go. It's worth every penny.
I will say this too. A woman that works in the park, she's from Rwanda. She's actually a war refugee. From the genocide time that happened over there.
Don Cheadle. I saw that movie.
Yeah, Hotel Rwanda. Right?
Leo Blood Diamond,
pretty
right?
much have been there.
No, Hotel Rwanda.
Kidding. I don't know.
But
you know her.
She survived that that crisis, and she still loves Africa. She still has family over there, and she lives here in the United States. And when she heard that Missy and I were going, she was so excited for us. And when we came back, the first thing she said to us, she goes, "Don't you feel alive now?"
Hmm. Wow.
And I...
That's insane, dude.
And I looked at her and I said, you know what? I do. Because, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I... Just something about the land that just pulls you in. And, you know, I was talking to that guy from Zimbabwe, and we were only there a couple of days, and he goes, "This place gets in your blood." And I was like, yeah, I can see why that happens. And then by the time I left, I was like, this place is in my blood.
Yeah.
And I don't want to leave this place.
Wow.
So.
Now, two things. First one, after I ask you this, I'm going to need you guys to give me a kick in the ass. Because like I said, I don't own a passport. I've never been outside of the country.
I will fill out your passport.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay, we're going to do it right now.
We're going to add in global entry while we're at it.
Okay, perfect.
Now, like I said, you don't need a lot in Africa, but global entry, you know, it's a good thing to have.
So you guys went to the most raw, most primal place on the planet. I'm assuming I didn't go.
No, I mean, you're right. But, and it gets more raw and more primal the deeper you go into that,
sure,
that continent.
And especially, and it saying that like feels like so much more to me because of what you said about the last night there was zero animals. And it was just like, you just need to appreciate this and the people. And it's just appreciate simple, simple, simple things in life. Mm-hmm. And there's a big message going out because a lot of our last podcasts have been about all kinds of random shit, whether it's Orlando shootings or, you know, whatever, what's going on right now with the Dallas cops being shot and all of that stuff. Like, everyone is so mixed up and worried about everything to where nothing is ever going to be simplified. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's ever going to be simplified.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys had the most simple time that you guys could possibly have. And I mean that in a very complimentary kind way.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's not the way we would have originally planned Africa because,
sure,
I wouldn't have ever thought to do it that way.
We would have been happy sleeping in the bush with a fire if we were allowed to.
Right.
I
mean, yeah.
But yes.
We sleep on the ground. You know, that's what we're normal to. But
yeah, yeah.
The exposure to the people and the land is...
Yeah. Not how you did it, but I'm just talking the simplicity and the experiences that you guys had. Now, how does that translate coming back to America and trying to like get back into the swing of everything?
It's pretty freaking hard.
So,
to where, like, do you ever just, like, and you've only been back a week, but, like, coming back and seeing, like, just whatever random things, like, you just have, like, such, like, a glow and, like, a zen about you, and you're just kind of like, fucking really? Like, this is an issue right now?
Yeah, no. Like, honestly, like, there are some issues that I see that we have, and I'm like, okay, why is that an issue? But obviously we do have some things that are real problems. You know,
I'm not talking as a country. I'm just talking about like everyday life.
No, that's what
like
I'm, simple, that's oh, what I'm oh, talking that's, about. Okay. Like, oh, my Wi-Fi. Oh, I couldn't find this Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like
that's a problem, right? I mean,
my father, you know, lives up in the Poconos up in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And he came out to visit, me and my sister a couple years ago because she just got back from deployment. She's in the Marine Corps, and she just did a tour around the world on a ship. And she comes back, and he came out to visit her because he's an ex-Marine as well. And, you know, he's like this old bluegrass guy. You know, he goes by the name Famous Seamus.
Oh, yeah, we talked about Famous Seamus on the last podcast.
Yep. Famous Seamus, and phenomenal bluegrass musician. But, he was out here visiting, and I'm like, Seamus, what's up with you, man? And he's like, I don't know, I'm just not used to seeing as many people. And at first, I thought about that. I'm like, who the hell are you? Like, you think you're some like Crocodile Dundee guy? Like,
right.
Like, hey, mate, you seen as many people? And you know, I never really thought much about that. But when I came back from my trip, or my safari, which means trip in Swahili.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look at that. It's a little.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either until. But I can understand what he's saying. Like, it's amazing how fast you acclimate to a certain environment in a short amount of time. Because I was thinking, I was like, you grew up in, like, Newark, New Jersey, like, area. Like, how are you not used to seeing people? We were gone for two weeks, and we come back, and, like, you just see civilization. You're like, man, I kind of want to get back to... Yeah. How I saw things.
Doing your own thing.
And like you guys are walking around like outside of the show, like when the show's getting out, and you're just like, Jesus, there's fucking people everywhere.
Well, yeah, like, no, it's amazing. And like at that moment, I understood what famous Seamus was saying. And I'm mm-hmm. like, all right, you know, maybe he knows something that I don't. And, you know, he's a little tapped into something that maybe most people need to be tapped into. And, you know, at the people of Tanzania, whether they know it or not, or they're way tapped
very into tapped it. Into it, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily need to be like, I don't think, like a going to Africa to experience this feeling like no. that you guys have. I mean, it could be like you said, going to Yellowstone or whatever, just going and taking a week
Santee.
And just getting to Santee.
Oh wait, no, right. Not, no. Not Santee.
Yeah,
no, you're right though. You can go out to Julie.
There's a million, yeah,
there's
yeah.
tons of places that you can just
to just be. To get simple.
Get yeah. to the quiet.
Get simple. Yeah, get to the quiet.
Hashtag get to the quiet.
Yeah, and I haven't in a long time. I haven't been. I love camping. I just, honestly, I don't really have people to go camping with. A lot of my friends back home are all married with kids and all of that, so they can't get away. And it's just a weird thing to where I just can't like coordinate something like that. I'm going to Oregon to see my brother. He lives like right in the middle of the woods of Oregon, and we're going to do... I mean, it's going to be somewhat socialized, like he works like on a resort, but there's like paddle boarding and, you know, all kinds of different stuff to where he's like, dude, you have to come out here. My brother does
not. I want
to
go.
My brother, you want to go?
Yeah, let's
I'm
go.
I'm not even lying to you. Let's my talk. Brother does do not. It. My brother does not go outside uh-huh. when he's out here, like, right. or when he's here. Never wore shorts. Like, he was an indoor kid. Now he's like every day off, he's going hiking, he's backpacking, he's...
That's awesome.
Paddleboarding, kayaking, just doing all this stuff in Oregon. He shows me pictures. It's fucking gorgeous. And I'm like, I cannot wait to go there.
Well,
yeah. Yeah.
I want to yeah, be well, an outdoor yeah. kid too.
That's what it's all
find
about.
Find your
man.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Fine, I got to find my quiet.
I think yeah. that's the beauty of
get to the quiet.
Get to the quiet.
Hashtag get to the quiet.
Vacation too. You know, like, I get so, when I come back, I get so, like, I don't know, sick of reality.
Right.
But
the day-to-day yeah, minutia.
But that's why you take vacation or mm-hmm. you take holidays, to get away from life and live a little.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you guys lived a lot in 10 days.
And yeah.
That's pretty awesome. And did you, I'm extremely jealous.
Did you ever see an animal eating another animal?
Yes.
Yes!
What did we see?
Go on.
Why can't I remember?
Go on.
We saw vultures eating a
wildebeest
carcass.
Oh, a carcass?
I have video of them.
Really?
Yeah. Screeching and...
Yeah, just...
That's pretty nice.
Would you be willing to let us borrow that for the Facebook page?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
They sounded so like check out our Facebook page.
Yeah, they did. Exactly. And their wings were like...
Yeah. Go to the Life Moves Pretty Fast Facebook page, and you can see the vultures eating the wildebeest.
I will say Disney did a really good job at replicating what happens in Africa, because I shit you
singing
not.
Lions?
I shit you not.
Every hyena looks like Whoopi Goldberg.
The hyenas are my fact. Favorite in Lion
That's
King.
Science.
We did see hyenas.
We saw
spotted hyenas.
Mm-hmm. I love me some hyenas.
They were cool.
Yeah.
We saw...
I can do animal talk all fucking night.
We saw a fucking warthog plow through a group of fucking vultures.
Oh,
just
dude.
Like in the Lion
he
King.
He went bowling.
They went and bowling.
And just crushed them.
The only thing that we did not see on top of that warthog was... Timon.
What is he?
Little meerkat.
Is he a meerkat?
No, meerkats.
Wrong country.
They don't hang out together?
Well, at least not in the country that we were at. But
we don't know where Simba went.
But, you know, we're like going around places, and I'm at this cliff, and I'm like, oh, this is where Simba died. Or this is where Mufasa died.
Simba's down there. Stampede!
Simba's down there. Get him! Brother! But yeah, no, when I saw the warthog run through the vultures, that was like, okay, TV's real.
That's pretty cool. That's amazing.
Everything that happens on Disney is true. Like, there's a frozen castle somewhere in Norway or
mermaids,
wherever the fuck they are.
Mm-hmm. Tron. And
there's mermaids. Tron's real.
Yeah, I really hope Tron's real.
Frog stock.
All right. I have to make a confession, and I feel very bad about this. Mm-hmm. I pulled Mike out right before we started recording, and I mentioned something to him, and you both being super fans, I don't know if you were expecting it or not, but we dropped the ball in a very serious way.
We did.
In a horribly serious way.
Yeah.
I feel scared.
No, don't, no.
You're off the hook.
You're really. Actually off the hook, lady. Yeah. You're off the hook, Missy. We did not come up with any in the spotlight questions.
Yeah, we failed.
So what we're going to do instead is we are going to let you both compliment us.
Mm-hmm. Tell us good things about us.
Tell us good
things. Super fans. Ready, go.
So today on my dog walk, I was listening to the podcast.
Go on.
About... Padres game.
I'm listening.
With the gay choir.
Oh.
And I don't even remember what part it was.
Nobody cares. It's the gay choir. We've moved on. It's
I was Pokemon laughing now. Out loud just listening to my earphones, and I looked around and I was like, people probably think I'm fucking weird right now.
That's awesome. You're just laughing into your, into your headphones.
I was like, I was like, oh. Yeah.
Well, good. All right, Connor, good things about us. Go.
Hey, BJ, I like your clock.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
We're going to leave it at that.
That's great.
All right, listen. I don't know both of you very well. I know you a little bit. We've hung out a couple times at, you know, past dinners and stuff. I've met you a handful of times. But I got to say, genuinely, you two are some of the funnest, nicest people I've met in a very, very long time. So I really do appreciate you guys coming up.
Thanks, man.
And being on our show. And the fact that you guys listen to our show and, like, enjoy it, like...
They're the two.
Right. This is it. That's the two on Podomatic that get
like
it.
Like we said, you can make a number one, have a number two.
Hey!
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, like, very happy that you guys are here. Like, it just means a lot.
Thank
like
you for,
the,
thank you for sharing your adventure. And yeah. Hopefully, you know... We do have listeners in Africa, but do we?
We didn't have Wi-Fi. We would have uploaded, but
just gonna yeah, do
we had the one in Ghana, and I haven't looked to see if he's still there.
Man, he didn't have Wi-Fi. We probably rethinking this whole trip.
We probably lost him after Tim's episode.
Well, you had a couple. If you were in Bronwyn's tent, you had Wi-Fi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She had the Wi-Fi.
We did see her on the book face often.
We will say that we didn't get to talk about is the bush bombs that happened on the trip.
Bush bombs?
Let's just say that, you know, we talked about you had to pee outside a truck.
You had to do other things outside the truck?
Some people had a number two outside the truck.
Okay, all right. Well, that'll be on the next episode.
That'll be after your next trip to Africa.
Hashtag bush bombs.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys so much again for coming.
Much appreciated. Thank you, guys.
I am
BJ McGinn. And thanks for the beers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, thanks for Tusker.
Tusker!
All right.
We'll get him as a sponsor.
Oh, I'm keeping
together,
the Tusker up.
Period. Forever.
Period. A new slogan for our show.
Just like that. Life moves pretty fast. It is together.
Forever. Right?
Period.
You're supposed to say period. Oh,
crap.
Shit.
All right, do it again. Do it again.
Tusker.
Nah, we'll do it
just
time.
Like life moves pretty fast, Mike. We are together.
Period.
Forever.
Period.
Period.
This has been episode 22 of Life Moves Pretty Fast. I am BJ McEvely.
Mike Misson.
With super fans Missy and Connor.
Thank you,
and
guys.
And we will see you all next week. Thank you, guys.